Paul, in 2 Corinthians, though, changes the focus a little. Because Paul is thinking about going to the city of Corinth again. He wants to visit the city because there are people that are challenging him, attacking him. There's a false apostle. And so the apostle Paul wants to go to Corinth to help the church. And I think that 2 Corinthians is a beautiful statement of Paul's authority and his credentials. And if you read chapter 11, and I encourage you sometime just to read chapter 11 loud, because it is a fascinating statement of who Paul is as he defends his position as an apostle of God. The Corinthian church had its problems because Corinth was a very bad city, a tough city. In fact, there was a term used in Greek literature to Corinthianize, or to be a Corinthian. And that, in literature, meant that you were a drunk, you were a party person, or you were a prostitute. Corinth was a city that was a difficult city. And yet, that's where Paul went to start the church. And the church grew, it was successful. But one of the things Paul makes clear is that the people in the city were not very special. In fact, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 1:26. And he's writing the Corinthians, and he says, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential." I don't think they had many bachelor's degrees there. Probably didn't have many doctorates. Who knows? "Not many were noble by birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong." And so when Paul had been attacked at Corinth, and his character was defamed, he decided to visit this church that had so many problems once again. And when you read this letter, as he's writing these people that have problems, one of the things Paul does is he communicates to them three important blessings that they have as a community. We have problems. Some of you have problems. I love Ancestry.com and family history. But I know that every family has secrets and problems and difficulties and things that you never want to tell anybody. And I'm sure that existed in the Corinthian church. But some of these people had given their lives to Jesus Christ. Some of these people were living and they were evil and they were wicked, but their life turned around, completely turned around. And Paul is writing this church trying to encourage them. And one of the things that he does is that he wants to share this idea, which is my first point. The gospel brings light out of darkness. The gospel of Jesus Christ brings light out of darkness and disaster. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants. For Jesus' sake, for God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of God. That light that has been shared in your life, that light that came into Paul's life, he shared with others. The message of the gospel, the hope, the freedom, the peace, that message is something that came into Paul's life and it left and reached others. That is what Christianity is all about. And that is why Christianity all over the world is growing. Churches grow mainly by people in the church sharing Christ with others. A lot of people like to have a family church. So you have children, and you have children, and they have children, and they have children. But the reality is those kind of churches don't exist for a long time. Because Christianity is rooted in spiritual transformation, change as we encounter God and as we reach new people. It's not about gathering a family, gathering people together. That is the opposite of what Christian faith is all about. Christian faith is about extending Jesus Christ and touching other people who don't know him. That's what Christianity is about. Paul explains that he and others do not preach about themselves, but they preach Jesus as Lord. And Paul said that others are servants, and he was a servant for Christ's sake. Here, Paul is talking a little about the idea of calling, which is an important idea in Christianity, how God calls us. God calls all of us. In a church like this, I believe that God can call people to be pastors and missionaries and doctors, healers, that God wants to call people into the work of God. He wants to. And sometimes people are not encouraged to follow those footsteps. But if God has called someone, they will begin to take little steps, to take classes. I remember when I first became a Christian. I was 21 in Germany. And from the very beginning, I had a sense that God was calling me to preach, to teach. And so I began to do it. The first week in a bar downstairs with soldiers in a basement, I taught a group of problem people. And I was not a good teacher, but I was moving the right direction. And I encourage you, like Paul responded, to respond to God's call in your life. Paul says that the light of God shines out of darkness. Let light shine out of darkness. This is a prayer that I have for Washington, D.C. This is a prayer that I have for the Chinese Community Church, that it can be light and bring light into the darkness in places in this city, all over the place. Not only in this city, in China. Paul understood what this meant. He knew that his own darkened heart, because his heart was dark at one time, Paul persecuted the church. Paul killed Christians. Paul committed great evil. He denied the faith. He was arrogant. But God saved him. And that light of God came into his life and he turned around completely. Flash of light knocked him off his horse. And he committed his life to Jesus Christ. Friends, you who are believers, understand this, that we are people of the light as Christians. You are a person of the light. In 1 John chapter 1, we are told that this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Let us walk in the light. Let us walk and be led by the Spirit of God. Because if we are led by the flesh, our sinful nature, it results in disaster. Verse 6 that we read earlier, powerful. His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. In the face of Christ really means in the presence of Christ. So when we walk in the light, we bring Christ with us. We glorify him. And God calls us to do this as a Christian. The second blessing, favor that we have from God is this. The gospel is a treasure in a simple clay jar. The gospel, the good news, is a treasure that is placed in a simple clay jar. But we have this treasure in clay jars to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Paul wants us to picture in our minds a clay jar that is not pretty. It's not valuable. No diamonds or emeralds or gold. And not artistic. A common clay jar. It's kind of like when you have visitors. I had visitors. I had Maymay and Chris came over to my house on Saturday. We ate, and I pulled out the nice dishes. But we're not talking about nice dishes. We're talking about common, everyday dishes. Clay jars. Paul says this. These clay jars is where the treasure of the cosmos, the universe, is placed. God places his presence, his spirit, into the life of common, everyday people. God is a God of creation. As Christians, we believe God created the universe. In the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The God of creation, the creator of the world, now suggests that he is the creator of treasure in a clay jar. In Christianity, there is a theology of creation which includes many concepts. One is, of course, the creation of the universe. But the other one is the new creation. It's when God comes into our life and creates life from the darkness. He saves, he sets free, he delivers, he gives freedom. People addicted to things are set free by the power of God. When you give your life to Jesus Christ and trust him, he will change, he will transform. That is the new creation. And God is able to take the common thing, the human being, common human being, the people in Corinth who were like everybody, anybody here, average people. We don't have any kings here. Maybe we do have a king. Maybe we do have a prince. If you do, let me know, because I've always wanted to get to know a royalty. But the reality is none of us have that high esteem. We don't have a billionaire here. We are common people. And the message that Paul is trying to say here is that God puts the treasure of the gospel into the life of the human being. He calls these clay jars to serve him. Young men and women as ministers of the gospel. Many of the largest churches in the world are led by people 30 years and younger. Did you know that? Many of the growing churches of the world, youth is engaged in building these churches. I am so happy that we have a new English pastor coming, Josh and Esther Show. Very experienced pastor and minister, very good communicator and preacher. We should be thankful that God has brought such a qualified person. He's not a beginner. He's a mature minister coming in the English service. And I'm thankful for that, for Joshua and his wife Esther. But I believe God does not only call a Joshua and an Esther, but I believe he's calling people here to respond to what he wants you to do. Because he has placed a treasure in a clay vessel. A clay vessel, by the way, is prone to crack. Has anyone worked pottery before? Pottery's hard, isn't it? And the reality of a common clay vessel is it's not perfect. And the miracle is that God uses people who are not perfect to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. you and me, he uses. We are clay vessels, clay jars that hold the treasure. The third point is this: the gospel brings the life of God even when we are surrounded by death. We always carry around. Listen to this. Listen to this message. This is Paul talking about you as a Christian. This is how you view reality. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. What does Paul mean when he says, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so the life of Jesus may also be revealed? There's a dual reality to us as Christians. We are people of life, aren't we? We are people of renewal and transformation. We are also people of death. We are people of death. The cross is a part of who we are. We are followers of the cross. So Paul is trying to communicate that in both life and death, God is present. And for us as a Christian, it's a blessing. We live with that dual reality. We are not afraid of death, because we know that death is defeated by God. When we take communion in a few minutes, when we read the 1 Corinthians 11, it says, for whenever you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. In ministry, Christians all over the world minister to people living and dying. In the Middle Ages, the nuns, the mendicant orders, they would go into places where people had the plague, and they would do ministry to dying people. Christianity has done this from the beginning. You think of Mother Teresa, and you think of China, and you think of the Middle East, where there's persecution, where Christians are thrown in prison. We walk every day as people of life and death as Christians. Last week, I had a very good friend die, 50 years old. I was his supervisory chaplain in Afghanistan. And Brian Curry was one of the best preachers around. Brian was so good that I was able to help him get a key position at Fort Leavenworth, where for 3 years he preached in the gospel service and in the contemporary service to almost all of the Christians who were young officers in the military, majors. Their families would come, their children would come. And Brian, for 3 years, mentored them. Now, you know, in the Army, a chaplain is a pastor. We don't have a weapon. We have no weapon. But we are ministers of the gospel. And my friend, coming home, had a massive heart attack. Died, 50 years old. How many of you here are over 50 years old? Raise your hand. Everyone over 50, raise your hand. Look around, raise your hand, you're 50 year olds. What happened over here? No one sits with the young people? You 50 year olds, tomorrow you could die. Tomorrow you could have a heart attack. Yeah, it's true. When I see this kind of thing happen, it's a shock, but I know that in the Christian faith, death is not something to be feared. Life and death are the treasure that God places in our midst. So the gospel brings the life of God even when we are surrounded by death. So this morning, I want you to remember these three things: the blessings, the favor of God. First, God can bring light out of darkness, and he did it in history, and he can do it to your life. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ here this morning, consider committing your life to Jesus Christ and following him, accepting him as your Lord and Savior, because God can bring light from darkness. And secondly, God places treasures in jars of clay. Let me tell you, we need preachers and pastors and ministers and youth ministers and leaders and helpers and people that secure continued education to equip their, help their skill level go up. And that's a choice. And so if God's calling you to do it, make the right decisions. And finally, we live the life of God even when surrounded by death. We have the life of God even when surrounded by death. Death does not faze the Christian. Now, the truth is, when someone we love dies, we grieve, we weep. But we trust God, who is the Creator and who is the one who intervenes and brings life, even though there is death. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for your people. This morning, this message, I pray that it touched the life of a few and that they would make a decision in their life to embrace you more, to surrender more to you, and to walk to develop the life that you've given them. You've placed a treasure in a clay vessel. Help us not to treat that treasure as clay, but help us to treat the treasure that you've given us in a worthy way. For it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.